On today's episode, we once again travel the astral realm in search of an experience most of us might have familiarity with. But then we move on when we should lean in and learn because this might be true. I've titled this episode, Dude, Where's My Body? Because as you will see, whether it's a medical emergency or just a simple visit to another dimension, you find yourself outside of the body that you are currently stored in.
It's daddy's time now.
You are now entering the realm of the Freaky Deaky, an unsuspecting stop at the crossroads of fantasy and reality, where the frayed edges of make-believe seep into this cookie-cutter, white-picket world you've been led to believe is far from extraordinary. What you're about to hear are true stories.
Alleged true stories.
Christian, just... okay? Tales of the strange and inexplicable thought only to exist in film and folklore. Although difficult to accept, we do not know everything about this reality. About time or space, what lies beneath the ocean's depths. And try though we might, the unchanging truth remains. There are some things we legitimately cannot explain logically.
Folks, welcome back to the Freaky Deaky. Yes, we hope you guys are having a fantastic week. If you are new to the show, we ask one thing of you, and that's that you check it out to the end. And if you're a fan, go ahead and slap that 5-star review. It really does help us grow the show out. And if you are a fan of dry humor, nonsensical soundboards, and a little dose of creepy action, this is the spot for you, my friends. In the meantime, if you're one of those social media lurkers, go ahead and follow us at Freaky Deaky Pod, pretty much wherever you're at. If it's on TikTok, it's at TFT Paranormal. Subscribe on YouTube at Freaky Deaky Pod for fresh episodes of Sleep With The Lights On, our YouTube exclusive spooky ghost show that drops every other Friday. It's a good time. And plenty of other video stuff. You like video stuff, friend? Then you're going to want to subscribe over there. But I think that's pretty much the housekeeping on my end. So I'm going to let Christian stumble through this episode.
Did you know video killed the radio star?
I have heard that, yes.
So I have one here from Brandy. We'll get started right in here.
Brandy.
Friend of mine.
Okay.
The title is, What's Green and on Trays? And I'm just, the reason I titled it that is because as I was being told this story.
You were throwing up.
No, I was just imagining, like, I envisioned green eggs and ham.
Gross.
Dr. Seuss got me through this story.
Well, there you go.
So just get the color palette of green eggs and ham, and it's much better.
It sounds like a great start.
Yeah, not a trigger warning, but it also...
Also not a trigger warning, right. Perhaps. So, yeah.
She says, I was 28 years old, just had my son 2 months prior. Ate some Taco Bell for dinner and woke up in the worst pain of my life.
That usually happens after a Taco Bell dinner, I found.
3 hours later, I finally caved and a friend drove me to the hospital. I could barely walk and could not get on the table. They gave me a little cup of this white drink and said I would lose feeling in my legs. When she told me the story, she's like, the nurse said, you're going to lose your legs. And I was like, what?
Yeah, not something you want to hear after drinking a little white drink.
I swear I barely swallowed that liquid and I went numb. Both nurses lifted me on the table. The doctor came in and listened to my complaints and pushed right in the center of my chest. Pain shot out and I kicked without control. He explained to me he thinks he knows what it is and I need a scan to be sure. I was heavily sedated during my ultrasound. I kept mistaking the gallstones for more babies. With a giggle, he said, no, those are not more babies, those are gallstones. In less than 45 minutes, I was being rushed into emergency surgery. He said he would try laparoscopic to remove my gallbladder. I'm not quite sure what that is, but I think it's less invasive.
I'm surprised that you got that word in one try, but astral realm was throwing you for a loop for about 2 minutes there.
Astral realm is just early in the morning is a difficult word.
It's too early to talk about the astral realm.
Yeah, when you first start talking, your words aren't lubricated yet.
Wow. From the sounds of it, your words are overly lubricated, but it's fine.
I said, please do whatever you need to do. I have to live for him, pointing at my 2 months sitting in the carrier. He needs me. My mom just made it in time from Anchorage before wheeling me into surgery. I got to say love yous and a quick hug in the hallway. Everything happened pretty quickly. I had a mask put over my mouth and nose, and they asked me to start counting backwards, which is always my favorite thing to, when I have surgery, is to see how far I can go. It's about three.
It's about three. Counting backwards, you go from 100 to 3?
No, I get like three numbers back and I'm out.
Yeah, I was like, damn, man, you really hold it out for there, huh?
Oddly, I felt like I had closed my eyes and then opened them. I just sat up like normal and kind of hopped off the bed. I turned around slowly, feeling confused, and I saw myself laying there. I had tape over my eyelids, a mask over my mouth, two straps on each side, and kind of looked like maybe a tube in my mouth. There was so much tape. A phone brick looking thing under my neck. I noticed silver trays all around me, and the closer I looked, I realized it was my organs.
Gross.
And everything was a green color.
Even grosser.
Nurses and doctors literally scrubbing and cleaning the green off. I felt so confused and really could only think, what the fuck is happening?
As is expected in a situation like that, yeah.
That would not be the best sight.
Nah, my astral self would be screaming. They'd be like looking like, do you guys hear something?
Which I think is why my non-astral self turned this into a Dr. Seuss colored story, so it wasn't quite as graphic.
There you go.
Then I look to my right and the wall looks like it is melting and crumbling away in an archway form. And my grandma is saying, come on, baby, it's time.
Whoa.
Reaching out her hand to me. I lost my grandma at age 14. Remember, she's 28 now. Mm. In that moment, I knew if I grabbed her hand, I wouldn't come back. I instantly backed up, waving my hands like, no way, and screaming, crying, begging, please, no, I have my son. I'm all he has. Please, no, no, no. In an instant, I think I was in recovery and still begging the nurse not to take me. She said, honey, you're in the hospital, you're in recovery, and you're going to be okay. I kept trying to sit up, and they had to keep pushing me back. I had to lay flat for a week after my surgery, fully wrapped like a mummy from my chest to my hips. 27 staples later, I was on the slow healing process.
Eesh.
When they were wheeling me back, I was so frantic to tell my mom. I had seen her mom. I seen her and told her what happened. I think everybody looked at me like those drugs were good, but I've never had anything happen like that to me before or after in my life. The doctor came in to explain what he had to do and apologize for the large incision, but it was what was needed. He said he first attempted laparoscopic. However, my gallbladder, which was normally the size of a thumb, was the size of a fist. Once he opened me up, he realized I was green with infection on all surrounding areas. He said they literally had to take my organs out and scrub the green off, remove my gallbladder, and put me back together. I was in shock, and my mind was thinking I had seen it happen.
Pretty, well, two things. First being, obviously, a very wild story and a wild experience to go through. And secondly, Granny wasn't fucking around, man. Granny was like, no, it's your time. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, she was bored on the other side. Like, I need some playmates. Get over here.
Yeah. I've missed you.
Yeah. That's pretty wild.
Just take my hand. Everything will be okay.
I know. Grandma's like, no, you're definitely dying. It's fine. Get over here.
Yeah. See all that green? That's not good. It was funny. Experience. Because she was telling me this story at work, and I was like, will you write that down?
Yeah.
And she did. So thank you, Brandy.
Yeah, thank you, Brandy. What a tale.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. She says she has more stuff, so we may hear from Brandy some more.
You know, we get those types of messages from folks constantly, like, oh, I've got plenty more to share. And then we never get the follow-ups. So, hey, everyone, get it together.
If that's you, send us your stories. We love stories like this.
Yeah, send it in. Honestly, what's wrong with you?
I don't know, man. I've heard these stories before, but I've never met anybody tell me.
I know. Yeah, story like a firsthand. Like that's pretty. Yeah, that's pretty wild. I love those stories. Those are my favorite. Like, they sound like the creepiest ones too. I mean, like demons and everything like that, pretty creepy. But the idea that you can be outside your body and look down and be like, oh crap, that's my body.
Have you ever done that?
I feel, and I was actually talking to my mom about this a couple days ago. I think as a kid, whenever I'd have a really high fever, I think I had out-of-body experiences, but it wasn't anything like I'm flying around. I was literally just in the top corner of my room looking down at me, which is very boring. Turns out when you're sick, you're like, wow, what an interesting sight.
I remember, I think I've told you about my story where I was able to kind of basically
jump into the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Claremont, California.
Claremont, California, known for allowing children to jump into the sky.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
It's a college town, so of course.
That, I guess, makes it more...
That was sure. A cool town to live in, though, when I was little, so... But yeah, I remember somehow being outside of my body and doing these crazy jumps when I was a kid. Haven't been able to really do it since then.
Just picture you trying as a grown man in your living room, like, come on. Nah, damn it.
So on this, I mixed in some stories, but I also have a couple things from some people who were big in the astral projection type of realm from the old days.
They're big in the astral realm, or are they big out here about the astral realm?
No, they basically popularized it a little bit back in the day. So we'll get to them in a little bit. But for now, I have another story.
Well, that's a good place to start.
This one is The God is Energy. And this one comes from Deb Carr at Upbeat and Positive, which is a blog.
I'm sorry, the person's name is Deb Carr?
Deb. Oh.
D-E-B-C-A-R-R.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I heard Deb Carr. And I'm like, wow, that's a...
No, that was like 2.5 weeks ago when it was 30-something below. My car was dead.
That was true.
While under general anesthetic, I abandoned my body and became part of the universe. It is a vast, vibrant structure with everything precisely and mathematically aligned. It's popping. I wonder, some people do talk about hearing certain sounds before they project.
It was also popping.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the sound, but maybe.
Probably not.
A distinct tap, tap, tap sound. So it wasn't popping, it was tapping.
It's tapping.
She says this is another thing she recalls, but I have no clue what it was. During this OBE, or maybe NDE, I also met what I believed you would call God. Not as a person, but as energy. This visit taught me everything there is to know about the universe and our purpose for existing. God told me that while I would recall that I knew everything, I would forget what I had learned before I left.
Isn't that just some shit that always seems to happen? Like, I got the answers of the universe, and I come back, I'm like, I don't know, something about energy?
Yeah, it's like talking about an episode after an episode of High or Strange Highness.
Mm. After we've done an episode of High Strangeness.
Strange Highness.
And I can't even get it right half the time. That's how strange it is. Maybe our earthly bodies just can't contain this knowledge.
Well, I mean, it's probably, maybe it's because it's a different dimension type of thing. Maybe our brain is not set up to process that information.
Our brain in the astral realm isn't set up in our head. It's in our like asshole or something like that. It's like, nah, I got the information, but it was stored in my asshole, unfortunately, and I can't reach that.
I wouldn't have stored it there.
Well, you're not in charge of the astral dimension. So.
Deb Carr should have been saying, God, why'd you store it there?
Yeah, exactly. These are the questions.
Yeah. Anyway, about 20 years ago, I had this encounter and still clearly recall every detail, except for the important stuff, of course.
Wow. So not every detail.
It was life changing. I don't know, man. That's kind of fascinating, though, that so many people have had experiences like this, but they can only remember parts of it.
It makes sense, though. I mean, that's a lot to take in, too, especially if you're used to your life being this.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait. Oh, it turns out it's so much more than this.
Yeah. You got all this weird stuff you're looking at, and then you're supposed to remember some words.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. I can barely remember words in this realm. All right.
What are words?
Exactly. I can read.
The next one has kind of is along a similar vein. And it's called The Gates of Heaven.
Ah, yes. Yes, of course, church magic.
This one's by Shankola. My dad told me this story. He was knocked out in a hernery.
He had a hernery?
He was knocked out in hernery.
Wow, twice.
He was knocked out in hernery.
Is it a hernia? Is that what we're saying? Yeah. Does he have a hernia? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
He was like, having hernia surgery.
Gotcha.
Those two words, man, worse than the astral realm.
Well, combined, they are hernery, so.
Doctors were operating on him. While he was knocked out, he had a dream. He says a dream, but.
But we know the truth.
Right. He was walking down this well-lit pathway. At the end of the pathway was a huge door with bright white. With a bright light behind the door. Stomach's growling.
I was wondering if that was your stomach or a plane in the distance.
In front of the door, on either side of the pathway, were these two very tall statues. He started to feel a euphoric joy as he got closer to the door. As he got close to the door, he realized the statues were not statues, but huge, angelic, living people. He got close enough to where the statues were looking down on him. As he reached for the door, he says one of the statues leaned over to tell the other statue something.
He was close. Don't let this guy in.
Yeah. He's in the wrong place. He's supposed to go down.
Yeah.
He was close enough to the door, and they were tall enough, like 30 feet tall, that leaning over to say something was leaning over my dad. He heard the one statue say to the other one, "It's not his time yet." It was at that moment that my dad woke up to the surgery room, scrambling in panic. When the doctor saw that he was awaking, he announced, "He's awake." He leaned over my dad to look closely at him and said, "We almost lost you. You weren't responding." My dad believes he was at the gates of heaven and almost walked in. It's true, told by my dad. He's now 72 years old, but this happened when he was 30. So okay. A while back.
I mean, I figured something like that would stay with you forever. So yeah. That checks out.
And I guess hernia surgery was a little bit more intense back then.
Yeah, my dad had hernia surgery back in, I was probably like 10 or so.
I had it probably, might have been 20 years ago now.
That's just when you lift too much shit, right?
That's sometimes what causes it, but usually it's just a tear in the lining of your abdominal wall.
That's too bad.
Now it's a tear in your muscles, but what makes it dangerous is sometimes your intestines will push through there.
Well, that and then doesn't sound great.
Yeah, then it'll get stuck and it'll cut off circulation to part of your intestines.
Well,
you know, maybe there's different, I'm sure there's different types of hernias because babies get them.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Does not sound fun.
No. So then you get a screen put in you. I don't know. I guess then it was like an older style screen, thicker, like.
It's just a PVC pipe they wrap around.
Yeah.
There you go. All set, pal.
Some duct tape, some super glue.
Entering Dr. Death territory here. That's pretty wild. That would be really uncomfortable to be walking up to it. You're like, oh, look at these magnificent statues. And then as you're like underneath them, one just leans over to the other. We're like, hey, don't let this guy in.
Yeah.
Don't let him in. He's tiny. Make sure he doesn't sneak past us.
I think it's fascinating all the different things people see.
It is weird. Like, we've kind of had the conversation in the past where it would make sense for everything to be catered to you.
Right.
Like, but at the same time, that doesn't make sense.
I think it's almost maybe, it almost feels like this is the way your brain processes that kind of information. And everybody's a little different. And that's why maybe they see certain things that they can handle.
But yeah, we're also placing or assuming that our physical brain is with us in the next.
But it's not.
Exactly. So it wouldn't make sense that our brains are the ones, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously no one, not us or anyone listening to this show understands how anything actually works. And we all just have like these wild speculations that some make more sense than others. Some are completely wacky, but it is all the same captivating and very curious.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain how you process that information, but it's got to be your consciousness, which would. Without your brain is going to process information differently. And maybe that's why people can't remember these type of things because their brain's not there.
We don't have a memory. Yeah. Well, then I don't know. See, yeah, that makes sense, but it also doesn't make sense because people remember things. I honestly don't know, man.
But do they remember it correctly?
We can only hope.
We're going to go back a little bit in time and talk about, I guess, what you might call a grandfather of astral projection or the astral realm. Person named Sylvain Muldoon.
Yes, of course, Mr. Muldoon.
Yeah, which up here makes sense because
we have a Muldoon.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a Muldoon up here. I don't think it was Sylvain.
Maybe a relative of some sort.
That would be weird. But this is back in 1915. Sylvain Muldoon, an American born in Darlington, Wisconsin in 1903, penned several books delving into the phenomena of astral projection or out-of-body experiences. He claimed these experiences were a recurring part of his life, and through experimentation, he discovered he could exert significant control over them. Muldoon recounted his first profound OBE at the age of 12 while attending a spiritualist camp, and during his teenage years, he frequently encountered similar incidents, particularly during bouts of illness, eventually mastering the ability to initiate them at will. Here's an interesting name. In a collaboration with Hereward Carrington.
Wow, that guy wears a top hat. It's probably, almost guaranteed.
Yeah, and probably walked around indubitably.
Yeah. Yes.
Muldoon documented these encounters in The Projection of the Astral Body, written in 1929. He further explored the subject in The Case for Astral Projection, 1936, and The Phenomena of Astral Projection, 1951, which he co-authored with Carrington. When he was 12, in 1915, his mother took him and a brother to Clinton, Iowa, to visit the Camp of Mississippi Spiritualists, which, when I was reading about this, I'm like, why are there Mississippi Spiritualists in Iowa? But
well, you got to spread the good word somehow.
Either that or the good word you were spreading wasn't wanted in Mississippi.
Ah, yes, of course. Church magic.
Yeah. We retired at an early hour that evening, incidentally rooming in a house.
That's usually what you do.
Where lodged half a dozen widely known mediums. I dozed off to sleep at about 10:30 in the same natural manner as I had always done before and slept for several hours. At length, I realized that I was slowly awakening, yet I could not seem to drift back into slumber nor further arouse. In this bewildering stupor, I knew within me that I existed somewhere, somehow, in a powerless, silent, dark, and feelingless condition. So he found himself in a state of paralysis, unable to move, then an equally unpleasant sensation of floating. Occurring at the same time, my entire rigid body, I thought it was my physical, but it was my astral, commenced vibrating at a great rate of speed in an up and down direction, and I could feel a tremendous pressure being exerted in the back of my head, in the medulla oblongata, in the medulla
oblongata? Oblongata?
Yeah, in the medulla oblongata region. The fuck did you know that?
Well, it's not going to make too much sense, but I learned it in an episode of Jimmy Neutron when I was about 13 years old.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I probably said it wrong because it's been so many years, but it was closer.
You said it exactly how it was spelt.
Nice. Well, I am known for my... Well, I'm not really known for much, but it's fine. Whatever. Let's just move on.
Gotcha. This pressure was very impressive and came in regular spurts, the force of which seemed to pulsate my whole body. Eventually, he gradually recovered senses of hearing and sight. When able to see, I was more than astonished. No words could possibly explain my wonderment. I was floating in the very air, rigidly horizontal, a few feet above my bed. The room, my exact location, was now comprehended. Things seemed hazy at first, but were becoming clearer. I knew well where I was, yet could not account for my strange behavior. Slowly, still zigzagging with the strong pressure in the back of my head, I was moving toward the ceilings, all the while horizontal and powerless. Involuntarily, about 6 feet above the bed, as if the movement had been conducted by an invisible force present in the very air, I was uprighted from the horizontal position to a perpendicular and placed standing above the floor of the room. I managed to turn around. There were two of me. I was beginning to believe myself insane. There was another me lying quietly upon the bed. It was difficult to convince myself that this was real, but consciousness would not allow me to doubt what I saw. He observed an elastic-like cable that ran from the forehead of his sleeping body to the back of the head of his astral counterpart.
Silver cord, no doubt.
That's what it sounds like. Thinking that he was dying, he struggled into the next room, hoping to wake its sleeping occupants to tell them of his plight, but found that his body could not make contact with physical surroundings. Eventually, he felt a tug on the cord, which forced him back into his body. Again, I was in the grip of a tremendous, unseen, directing power. I was cataleptic and was resuming the horizontal position directly over my bed. Slowly, the phantom lowered, vibrating again as it did so. Then it dropped suddenly, coinciding with the physical counterpart once more. At this moment of coincidence, every muscle in the physical jerked, and a penetrating pain, as if I'd been split open from head to foot, shot through me. I was physically alive again, filled with awe and amazed, and as amazed as fearful, and I had been conscious throughout the entire occurrence. Sylvain felt the ability to experience it at the time was related to all the mediums that slept in the same area.
Weird.
So that one's more of a classical view that maybe I heard about when I was younger.
What, with the silver cord and all?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird? Doesn't that sound like back-end programming type shit? Like I'm going to code this. Oh, he can't disappear. He's got a cord attached to him.
That
just in case of astral projection, pull cord.
So God is a programmer.
Well, it's
that leaves a back door into our systems in case he needs to get in and reprogram us.
That's a gross oversimplification, but it also checks out a little bit, you know? Like, that's why there's everyone that talks about the world being like a simulation or anything like that. It's stories like this that I'm like, yeah, I guess I could kind of see it. I don't know. It's a crazy world out there. And who's to say that this is the first time it's been a crazy world out there? Maybe the world got so crazy that they're like, no, we're just going to throw us all on this computer. It'll work itself out, I'm sure. And now we're becoming aware.
What if we're just the leftover remnants of a species that just kept destroying itself? And now we're just the test to see if they could overcome that.
Yeah. Well, we are technically a species that keeps destroying itself. So don't even have to be leftover remnants. We're just that.
And maybe they're keeping us in the simulation to study why we do that. And we've been in this simulation all this time because whoever put us there still can't figure it out.
Or they forgot. It was just like a weekend project. Oh crap, I forgot about the simulation.
What if they started the simulation and then they were attacked by another species and they're just gone, but the simulation's still running and
we will forever.
Yep. So the next one is called Some Curry Before I Fly.
Wow.
And this one comes from Dorothy Maricero on Medium. I went to celebrate the day of my birth with my family and friends at our favorite Indian restaurant.
Some people say birthday, but yeah.
That's what I thought too, but
I'm not here. Who am I to judge, you know?
Maybe outside of the people we know, they say it differently. I have no clue. Maybe in this simulation, the words are different. I had some nice vegetarian and, of course, a bit spicy food and a glass of red wine. I usually don't drink at all, so a glass of wine makes me pretty relaxed. We came home, I put one of the children to bed, and I settled in with my headphones, like every night, and started my astral projection meditation.
It's daddy's time now.
Or mommy.
Well, I don't have that soundbite, do I, Christian?
No, you don't. I managed to enter a very relaxed state. I had very deep awareness, both of my physical body and my energy body. I heard the ringing in my ears that potentially are related to me hearing the astral world. I thought the ringing in your ears was just from loud music.
It can be.
I got deeper and deeper and found the hypnagogic stage.
A stage I'm all too familiar with.
I am not. Nothing unusual until then. At the stage in the meditation where I was supposed to use my astral hands to grab an imaginary cord to lift my astral body out of my physical body, I did so, like every night. But this time I felt two hands wearing white sleeves, that's all I could see, behind my shoulders, pushing my astral body and helping me get out of my physical body. I felt a slight resistance from a rightfully fearful part of me, but I told myself, let's do this.
What could possibly go wrong here in the spiritual plane?
Yep. And I flew out of my body. She then describes the experience of astral projection where she consciously leaves her physical body and explores the astral plane. She expresses awareness of her cautious nature, possibly influenced by alcohol, which could bring her back to her body. With a firm intention, she commands herself to fly away and successfully navigate through their bedroom window into a world resembling reality. She encounters two men whose energy feels familiar, though their appearances shift between young and old, suggesting they may be ageless beings.
Ageless beans. That's one we haven't had before. Beautiful.
Yes. Nice. Beautiful. Right. When asked what she learned, she is unsure, both about her astral journey and life in general. Despite a strong desire to know the identities of the beings, they urged her to return and frustrated her. She demands answers before reluctantly returning to her body, feeling upset and crying.
Demanding answers from these astral entities, huh?
Yeah, she kept trying to figure out who they were because they seemed familiar to her, but they never answered her. They basically just told her she had to go back.
Yeah, be like, hey, you're not supposed to be back here. bro. That's so weird. That's where the, you got the cojones to go into a realm that you're completely unfamiliar with and just start demanding answers.
Right.
Wow.
And then,
wow,
fittingly, you get sent back.
I mean, luckily, you didn't get shadow boxed back, you know? Wow, what the hell was that? Jeez, Christian.
Sorry.
Cacophony of strange sounds coming out of you.
Okay. We've mentioned this name before, but we're going to talk about the father of Hemi-Sync.
That doesn't sound familiar at all.
Robert Monroe.
Oh, yes, of course.
So he has the Hemi-Sync technology that you can go online. You can order for like $1,000 to learn how to astral project and remote view.
Or you can just message me. I downloaded it legally, quote unquote.
We cannot help you there because eventually we hope to have somebody from this group on the show.
That will be a cold day in hell, but yes, let's...
Why would you not have this? They'd be fascinating.
It would be fascinating, yeah. The same reason that I don't think actual Exorcist is going to come on the show, because it's called The Freaky Deaky, and it is filled with nonsense, but beautiful, fun nonsense, so who's to say for sure? Yeah.
So Robert Monroe, an American radio broadcast executive and entrepreneur, was born in 1915. He delved deeply into the realm of out-of-body experiences. Through his exploration, he became skilled in navigating these alternate states of consciousness. He developed the patented Hemi-Sync technology designed to facilitate the induction of such states. And this forms the foundation of consciousness training programs available at his research center, the Monroe Institute. Monroe extensively documented his adventures and insights in three notable books, Journeys Out of Body, Far Journeys, and The Ultimate Journey, written in 1971, 85, and 94. And we've talked about him more than once on the show. I think he came up when we were talking, maybe Pat Price, because we were talking about remote viewers actually going to the Monroe Institute to learn.
Yeah, he's come up a couple times for sure.
The CIA has documents that from their agents actually going and getting training from the Monroe Institute.
Documents?
So you can look that up on CIA.org.
Pointing people to the CIA website, isn't that interesting?
With the disclaimer, you may be looking into them, but if you click on that site, they're probably looking into you.
Who's this asshole right here?
So he was born in Lexington, Kentucky. His father was a college professor and travel entrepreneur. So like a...
He sold vacuums.
Or snake oil.
That works too, I guess.
But his mother was a doctor.
She sold pharmaceuticals.
Could be. Drink this Coke.
Wow.
Filled with cocaine. It'll make you feel great.
And it did.
Initially, Monroe was going into pre-med at Ohio State College. He dropped out of college at the age of 17 and lived a transient lifestyle, hitching rides on trains and taking odd jobs, including newspaper reporting. After a year, Monroe returned to college in Lexington, where he engaged in various activities such as working for the newspaper and the radio station. And he partnered with his first wife in running a theater company. He was also hired later on at the National Aeronautic Association to produce a weekly radio show about aircraft. Monroe's first encounter with OBEs happened in the spring of 1958 while experimenting with mental retention techniques. He experienced a severe cramp in his solar plexus lasting 10 and a half hours.
Wow. The longest cramp I've had in my solar plexus is about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. And even that's a lot.
It was a lot.
Subsequent experiences occurred after a sensation of warm light and intense vibrations, eventually leading to an out-of-body experience. He initially resisted the phenomenon, but later embraced it, leading to further exploration. He became able to control movement. It got easier over time. He verified events witnessed during these states and described them in his books. His experiences were initially misunderstood, leading to a damage to his reputation. He attempted to contact deceased friends during his travels, reporting success in communicating with one and seeing another. He participated in tests supervised by parapsychologist Charles Tart in the mid-1960s, but did not succeed in all challenges. After the publication of his first book in 1971, Monroe and his wife focused on developing sound technology to induce OBEs, and they and they pioneered hemi-sync technology, leading to the establishment of the Monroe Institute in 77.
I could get on board with that.
And again, you can go on YouTube. There's an app with his technology you can download. You can find it.
That's pretty wild.
I actually used one of them last night on the app.
Hmm. Did you leave your earthly plane?
No, not this time. Wow. Interest in Monroe's techniques grew, leading to an expansion of the Monroe Institute and the renaming of the organization. He also had notable figures like Joe McGonigal that took his program. And if you don't recognize that name, he was big in remote viewing for the CIA or for the government, whoever he was working for.
They kind of one and the same.
Monroe's personal life had challenges, including the death of his wife, Nancy, in 1992. He struggled with declining health and ultimately passed away in March of 1995, reconciling with family members before his death.
Hey, attaboy. That's the move.
And I have a little tidbit where he kind of describes a couple things from, and this came from PSI Encyclopedia. In Journeys Out of the Body, Monroe categorized his destinations in three locales and calculated the percentage of visits spent in each. Locale one was 31%. The material world, the world represented to us by our physical senses, containing no strange beings, events, or places. All veridical information is gathered here as it can be confirmed by others in the material world. Locale 2, 59.5%. Fascinating, he came up with these numbers too. Mm. A non-material environment with unknown bounds, which contains all aspects of what are known as heaven and hell, apparent physical spaces and objects, and entities with whom communication is possible. Measurement of time or space is irrelevant, and thought, however, much influenced by unrepressed emotion, instantly creates one's reality. In OBEs, one tends to be drawn to this location. Locale 3, an in parallel material world, different from ours in technology and social customs. Monroe later simplified this schema to two categories, local traffic or places nearby, that is in the material world, and interstate or highway, meaning places more distant and immaterial. Monroe did not refer to either an immortal soul or to reincarnation, but was certain of survival beyond physical death. In the OBE state, he met deceased persons and revisited apparent previous lives of his own.
Weird.
So.
That is pretty wild. Now, would you call that science? Now, would you call that scientific evidence?
It's closer.
Hmm.
I would have to see some of their, you know, because you have, when you're doing these kind of experiments, sometimes, like we saw with remote viewing, you basically have to make the experiment to where there can be no variables. Like I believe when they first started working with remote viewing, somebody would put a destination in an envelope, and
the goal was for them to
figure out where that was in the envelope, but nobody could really see it because they didn't want their thoughts or whatever to influence the viewer. So there's ways to do it. This is closer. I think that's their whole point. I've heard the current leader of the Monroe Institute do radio interviews and stuff. So it's pretty fascinating stuff.
It is pretty fascinating stuff.
The next one is the clothes were different.
Got them.
From Amnesia Species. My experience was floating in the air at least 100 feet up.
No, thanks.
Sounds like my Claremont part.
That's too high.
Yeah.
That's too high. Give me like 5 feet in the air. Like, whoa, interesting. But 100 feet, I'll be just crying. Like,
if you could jump like I did that one time, you wouldn't be. I was above the tree line, but not above a very tall two-story house on our block. That's a pretty tall house if it's 100 feet and it's only two stories. I didn't feel much emotion-wise. If anything, I felt nothing but like I should observe what's happening. I saw my dad running to come and get me. My friends were there watching me lay lifeless on the asphalt. I dropped back down in my body and saw two drops of blood hit the floor before I blacked out, and I woke up in my parents' bathroom. I had a really bad accident where I face planted into the ground and slid 10 feet. Doctors said the helmet saved my life. It was cracked in half after the accident, so I guess biking thing. All I know is I didn't feel anything like happiness, sadness, or emotion. Just that I was there to observe the world as it passed by. Didn't have Jesus or God come to talk to me. I'm not religious, but I would say I'm agnostic. I tell others this story and they usually go, oh yeah, I died too, but only saw black and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I also died. It's fine. It's no big deal. What do you think? You're special?
I know. What kind of people is this person hanging out with? Kind of feels like they hear my story and think it's bullshit since they didn't experience anything like that. But I just feel like they didn't really die.
Or maybe they weren't good enough to have an afterlife. You think about that? Maybe they're assholes.
I also noticed I was wearing different clothes when I was up in the air, but still things I would wear at the time. Button-up shirt, jeans, etc. During my accident, I was wearing a short-sleeve shirt that got ripped up and the jeans that were now stained with blood. Not sure if this matters also, but after that accident, I started having extreme night terrors of alien abductions until I was 14. It also doesn't help that when I was 25, I was at my mom's house. She was drunk watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind. She looked over at me and goes, so-and-so, you know, I really believe you were being abducted as a child. Your dad and I both believe this, but never talked about it.
What?
I think they left you here for a reason.
You were no good. You were the worst. Wow. Well, what kind of... Look, if I have a feeling that my child is being abducted as a young boy, that's probably something I'm going to discuss often.
Yeah.
Or like set up some kind of camera system, you know, some kind of anything. Like, can I trap the aliens? Probably not. I'm sure they're smarter than I, but I would still be doing all these things, you know? It seems weird to just kind of like look over at your spouse in bed and be like, yeah, is there Junior being abducted?
Yeah, it seems kind of weird to go from being outside of your body to growing up, your mom being drunk, watching Close Encounters of Third Kind, saying, son, I think you were abducted. Yeah. But they didn't want you. They left you to live with us in this trailer park with six brothers and sisters and a dad that doesn't work. Oh, I just made up.
Yeah, that was clearly evident. But the not wanting him thing, that's for sure. What's really weird, what strikes me is the different clothes. Like, is there like a gap? We went up to the big gap in the sky. Got me a nice button down.
And I saw a bunch of comments on this, but they weren't really that interesting. But to me, what if you're obviously not going to need clothes in that state? So maybe it's just a part of your brain your consciousness that puts them there so you feel more comfortable.
No.
I feel like your consciousness tries to protect you in a lot of ways. And maybe that's...
Hey, where was my consciousness when I was dreaming that I was naked from the waist down at school as a kid, huh? Where was my consciousness then? Being like, oh shit, put some pants on, damn it. It's a dream. You're trying to traumatize
the boy.
Maybe
your consciousness... had forgotten the silver cord that's supposed to attach you to your pants.
Yeah, the silver pants cord.
Somebody mentioned something about the clothes here. Come at me, bro. I did put it in here. This one, toll booth inspector says, so the fact that your clothing was different is the key here, I think. This is the exact same thing that happens when people astral project. Details are off in the environment they end up in. My thinking is that this is a product of the brain attempting to estimate the environment around it and make up for lack of information.
Brain is on the floor.
Yes.
Brain is on the floor. Spirit self is in the sky. Brain is not doing much.
Spirit is in the sky, keeps on turn. No, I don't know.
That's a wheel, but okay.
Yeah. Okay. The last story is Valley Makers from Valley Makers.
Wow. A little conceited, but all right.
It's a long story, but short version is I got very sick and put in hospice. Eventually got better somehow. While I was recovering, I was looking on the internet and saw a dog on the social media feed. I was immediately taken out of my body to a beautiful, peaceful valley. Beautiful blue sky, green mountains, just pure beauty everywhere. I saw a vision of a blue, somewhat translucent dog galloping towards me with pure joy. I knew it was my dog. I didn't have a dog at that time. I don't know how long this vision really lasted, 2 or 3 minutes, it felt like. Anyway, I came back to this reality, I applied to get the dog, and adopted it. I know we were supposed to be together. It's hard to explain, but I like to say God gave me a dog and a dog helped me find God.
Well, would you look at that? It's a circle. You did it, boy.
It's a flat circle.
Wow. Man, I wish I had some cool out-of-body experience. A cool one, not a creepy one, you know?
You got the technology. You just got to practice. Yeah, but you might want to wait till you're able to sleep again.
Maybe.
Because you don't get enough sleep to be traveling in your astral
unless
body.
Unless I traveled to like a really cool Airbnb and just my spirit self slept in there alone or next to a couple that's renting it out right now.
But That sounds like it's going to take some practice.
Yeah. Well, with that attitude, but when you got the go-getter mentality that I rock 24/7, you know, you just got to make it happen. You got to make it happen.
So what are your feelings on this sort of things, these out-of-body experiences and astral travels?
I mean, I've been fascinated with them since before this podcast. It's equal parts fascination and being terrified because it is like a completely unknown space. You know, the laws that we have here in this physical realm do not apply. And I am a creature of habit, so...
I would say, like, it's interesting to me because I've always been fascinated by this. And I know as a kid, I was able to do this because it happened a lot.
Yes.
And I think we've talked about it before, but the theory goes, if you experience sleep paralysis, it's much easier for you to travel the astral realm because you're already there. You just need to get past that sleep paralysis place and get out of your body.
You say
it's easier to do that way.
Well, unfortunately, I've never suffered from sleep paralysis.
You've seen the Shadow Man or whatever, Hat Man or whatever those.
I've luckily not seen the Hat Man.
You've seen the Shadow People or
I've
whatever.
I've seen Shadow People, sure.
But that's right there on the edge of sleep paralysis.
I don't believe it is because there's not even an inkling of paralysis. When I see stuff, adrenaline is pumping. Trust me, I jump out of bed. I'm like looking around. I'm like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, then that's probably a good thing. Then you don't get stuck in there. But
I know. Yeah. It'd be the worst if I saw things and then I couldn't even move. That's the terror of sleep paralysis is seeing something evil and not being able to jump out of bed to try to box the shit out of its head. You know?
Yeah. I don't think I've been there, but I have experienced this stuff. Hmm. And there's times now where, like, I'm listening to the hemi-sync stuff, and I think I can do it. Mm. Like, I see something that's like a different dimension. Like, I can see, like, I'm somewhere else, and I notice it, and I can see it. But the minute I try to look at what I'm seeing, I lose it. So I got to get past that spot.
You mean, like, in, like, a meditative state? You in your mind's eye, you can visualize something?
Or yeah, like I'm somewhere, I'm in a different place. But the minute I try to focus on it and get information, I'm back.
Well, have you tried not focusing on it and just letting it slowly envelop you?
Yeah, but the way my brain works,
like,
as soon as I,
it's working,
my eyes automatically go to movement or if something's different.
Yeah.
Like I can't not look even in regular life.
That is true. I see you looking at stuff all the time. Your eyes are always watching.
Shifty.
A little shifty.
Calm down, Bert.
Yeah. A little shifty.
You know, remember how I said time is a flat circle earlier?
Which time? Because you've said it many.
I just want to say in season 4 of True Detective, it makes an appearance.
Wow. Isn't that off topic? But that's fine.
I just want people to watch True Detective season 4.
I know. You keep trying to get China to do it. And unfortunately for you, Love is Blind season 6 happened to come out. And we got to get caught up on all the hot goss.
Hey, man. That's what the government wants you to watch. So
that is true. Yeah. And we're just mindless drones over here. That's what we do.
That's how they expect it to be.
Yeah. Speaking of mindless drones, you guys should go and I kid, obviously. The new website has been up at this point for a few weeks, and you guys need to go check it out. I put a lot of work into it, and I'm making it fun and hip and fresh, and the only thing we're still technically building out is the blog pages. We're going to have a couple different ones, a news one. We're going to have episodes on one, though. The episodes are only going to go back to episode 150 because your boy does not have the time and or the mental bandwidth to comb through the previous 150 episodes and upload them one by one, because that's just not me. So if you want the older episodes, wherever you're listening right now is probably going to be just fine. But if you want a real treat, and you're on a desktop computer, what you're going to want to do is go to thefreakydeaky.com/beans, because then you get to draw on Christian. What a fun little Easter egg that is, huh?
Yeah, like they're the first person to draw on me.
Exactly. I don't know what that means, but okay. It's a good little pastime, you know, if you're just sitting there.
Is it though?
Zoning out.
It feels like voodoo.
I have drawn.
Like, you are promoting voodoo on our website. What if it damages me?
Then it works.
What if it sends me to the astral realm with like a ugly mustache or something?
That's what I've been drawing, nothing but Three Musketeer mustaches and like little tiny beards on you and making your eyes black and putting horns, as is tradition for most graffiti. Yeah, it's a good time, guys. I did, as I mentioned in previous episodes, I did remove some of the designs from the merch store. So if you were sleeping on them, too bad they're gone. I may bring them back at some point, but the idea is to get some fresh merch up there and get maybe something Sleep the Lights On themed. Maybe we got a couple of different things. We got so many fun stuff that we dabble with on the show that it's time to spice up the merch game a little bit more.
We have a fancy new vault that we're storing these old designs in, so maybe someday we'll open up the vault.
There you go. Yeah, we're Disney now, and that's fine, honestly, but either way, go check out the website, thefreakydeaky.com. If you have a story that you've been saying you're going to share with us and you've been sitting on it, now would be a great time to utilize the share your story option on the website.
Be like Brandy. I'm like, Brandy, that is a great story. Will you write it down? Next day I get it.
And she said, hell yeah, brother.
Actually, the next day she's like, I wrote it down, but I forgot it.
Classic. Classic stuff, Brandy, honestly.
But that's, I think, fine. She actually, I'm like, you can just screenshot it or take a picture of it and send it to me. I'll type it up. But she sent me the typed up version.
Nice. Yeah, you don't even have to type it up. You just copy it right off the picture.
Yep.
It's great. Thanks,
but
Apple.
I didn't have to do that because she just sent a long message.
She's a step ahead. That's just the way it is, honestly. And that's fantastic. Folks, let us know in the comments, wherever you're listening, what your favorite story was from today's episode. Have you ever astral projected? Have you left your body? Have you beat up any demonic entities on the other side? Have you floated into space? Have you seen 30-foot statues in front of a gate with light behind it?
Have you seen your insides laid out on metal trays
on the outside,
colored green?
Yeah. And if you have seen that, gross, but also wildly fascinating at the same time. Yeah. So with all that, I mean, I don't think there's anything left to add. And so I'm not going to add anything. We'll see you next week, where Christian's going to be talking about, are we touching on skinwalkers again next week?
It seems like we are.
Wow. That was a fun episode. So it's time to get into another one. And this one's a bit different than the last, but we think you guys are going to enjoy it. So goodbye.
See ya.
It's daddy's time now.
Come at me, bro.